Good Weekend Talks is a new podcast from the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age.
It's a deep dive, once a week, into Australia's definitive stories.
On Good Weekend Talks,
we take a long-form look at the people,
places and issues
that matter to you.
Devour the issue in depth.
And learn the backstory and craft behind some of Good Weekend's most popular pieces.
It's your favourite magazine, brought to life for your ears, your heart and your soul.
Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire and it's Tuesday, April 7th. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. As of this afternoon, Australia has recorded 5,895 cases of coronavirus and 45 people have died. I'm joined now by our National Explainer reporter, Sharon Grosch. Welcome to Please Explain, Sharon.
Hello from my coronavirus bunker. Thanks for having me on.
So, Sharon, you are a reporter in our Explainer team. You're based in Melbourne and you joined us in mid-January. And I think that one of the first Explainers that you wrote when you joined us was about the coronavirus, and you have been non-stop coronavirus ever since.
Oh, yes. I actually landed in the newsroom the day this sort of hit headlines here in Australia with the announcement out of the World Health Organization. So it has sort of been nonstop. And look, there's still a lot that, you know, scientists don't know.
Well, I can tell you that the reader reaction to the Explainers that you've been working on has been immense. Today's podcast is going to be you attempting to answer questions from our readers. Let me start with the first one that you're getting a lot of. What are the basic rules of life under this pandemic?
Prime Minister Scott Morrison came out about a week or two ago and he'd met with state and territory leaders as part of the new national cabinet that was formed in response to COVID-19. So sort of the first time since in peacetime that that's happened. And he said there's now really only four good reasons to go out. There's a few exceptions, but basically you should only really leave the house if you're shopping for what you need. And that can include, you know, food, but also supplies. You can also go out, of course, to get medical care or for compassionate or emergency reasons. So those are some of the main reasons. It's also, of course, if you can't attend work or school remotely and you need to, you know, pick the kids up off back and forth to childcare, then you can leave the house. But there's another reason that we're allowed to go out, and this is kind of the one where people are looking for the loopholes, and that's to exercise. So you can walk the dog, you can go to the park or the beach, but you've got to keep the other social distancing rules in mind. So that means you shouldn't be out with more than one other person outside your household. But you can meet up with a friend, you can, you know, you can head to the park. And so everyone's sort of agreed to these kind of broad rules. But the thing that's happening is on the ground, it's up to the states to enforce them. And they're all kind of interpreting them a little bit differently, which is where a lot of this confusion is coming in.
So how difficult is it for you when you are trying to write an explainer, what can you do and what can you not do in the current circumstances, to work out exactly in which state what's allowed and what's not?
It's really tricky because even the state guidelines they've got on the website, they're changing all the time as advice is updated and we know more about this virus. So, you know, the question of how long people are infectious or how far the virus can jump, that's still a little bit of a live question. And that means these chief medical officers are looking over the research and revising their advice all the time. But in states like Victoria, New South Wales and even Queensland, where we've had more significant outbreaks, they're getting quite tough on this two-person gathering limit. So basically the idea is that we can drop that infection rate right down, get a hold of this pandemic before it gets even further out of control and our hospital wards start to fill up to a really dangerous level. But it's just in practice, with governments having to juggle all this new advice at once, it's a bit of a it's all a bit of a dog's breakfast, to be honest, on the ground.
And so where can our readers get clarity, Sharon?
Well, so we're really trying to answer this as we go. So we're pulling together sort of guides for our readers. So one of the main ones we've got is sort of the Your Questions Answered Explainer, which is actually up on the site if you look for Your Questions Answered. And that's almost like a live kind of feed of people's questions and answers as they come to us. It's almost like a bit of a time capsule, really, of people's concerns. I mean, at first we were getting lots of concern about the virus itself and the science, but now it's really moved on to this more practical stuff. So where we can, we're really putting these questions to governments. You know, can we walk the dog? Yes. But can we jump in the car just to have a drive? And states will tell you different things. So, for example, just this morning, the New South Wales Police Commissioner said, no, you shouldn't really be jumping in the car just to have a drive. And in Victoria yesterday, we, of course, saw the case of a 17-year-old learner driver booked just for going out for a lesson with her mum. So it's all a bit confusing, but we're trying to sort of keep on top of it as we go. And I think as these laws come in and police kind of get a better handle of where their discretion should lie, I think this will start to calm down a bit and the list will stop changing and evolving as we go.
Another really common reader question is about how long the virus lives on surfaces, because we're all trying to practice hygiene both on ourselves, in our workplaces and in our homes. What is the advice on, you know, if you touch a door handle, how many hours later is it safe that there won't be any virus on it?
So this is an area of the science that still needs a fair bit of work. On hard surfaces, so plastic or stainless steel, they could detect that virus up to 3 days later. But when it came to something a bit softer, so say cardboard, paper, even fabric, the virus wasn't there for as long. Now, the thing to keep in mind with that is that doesn't mean that the virus is sitting there waiting to infect you for 3 days. As soon as a virus leaves our body, we know it starts to break down. I mean, the virus needs us to move. They can't really make it on their own. What they're saying is, you know, keep this in mind. Keep surfaces clean. The WHO recommends, you know, disinfecting all surfaces, particularly if you're a suspected case or you've got someone in the household. And the good news is that a simple disinfectant will pretty much do the job. Look for sort of antiviral killing potential on the label. Make sure your hand sanitizers are using alcohol. And of course, you know, lots of soap and water to wash your hands whenever you're touching your mouth, whenever you're touching someone who might be infected or a public sort of area like a handrail. Good to just keep that little bottle of hand sanitizer handy.
So another question people are asking, Sharon, is takeaway food still safe?
It again just comes down to keeping that kind of that surface consideration in mind. So Nobel Prize winner and medical researcher Peter Doherty, he recommends, you know, when you get the pizza box, maybe take the food out and put it in a different container, wash your hands, that sort of thing. I mean, we don't really have anything conclusive on takeaway food, but keep the same sort of basic hygiene measures in mind.
Another question lots of people are asking is, how long does it take to recover if you do get coronavirus?
Yeah, so again, we still don't have a complete sort of data set on this, but it tends to take, you know, up to about 10 days if you've got a fairly mild case. If you've got a more severe case, which about, you know, 20% of people might need hospitalisation from the data so far, then it might be up to even a month or 6 weeks.
So do they know yet if you are immune, if you've had it already?
Pretty much any virus you get, it usually confers at least a window of immunity, not necessarily a lifelong shield, but usually a bit. Certainly with other common coronaviruses, the ones that give us common coughs and colds, we're usually immune at least a few months up to a year. With SARS and MERS, which were the other two sort of unusual coronaviruses that emerged in the population, they conferred immunity for about, you know, about 18 months to, and in the case of SARS, quite a long time in patients that recovered. But in this case, they're still figuring it out. So there's been a few cases where people have appeared to get the virus again, say a month later in Japan. But what scientists mostly think happened there is that it's more likely the virus was still kind of sticking around in their system than actually reinfecting them. So there's more work being done, I guess, into how long you can actually have the virus still in you, even once your symptoms disappear. And of course, that bit, you know, comes into question when we're sort of saying, yes, go back out into the world, you've recovered.
And just finally, Sharon, one really hot topic of debate in the newsroom today and also around the general public is whether or not we should be wearing masks. And if we can't get hold of them, should we be making ourselves? What is the advice on whether we're supposed to have our mouths and nose covered when we go out?
So this is a really difficult one to answer, actually, because all the experts seem to be falling down on different sides of this. So at the moment, we've got the World Health Organization really kind of reconsidering its previous advice that if you're healthy and you're well, you don't need to use face masks. They should be kept for people with symptoms or healthcare workers who are caring for people who are infected. But since then, we've seen places like the US come out and say, look, you know, there's been some studies into the way SARS spread, and we actually think this could be a really good way to stop community transmission. So in the US, there's whole areas now, even in some, you know, parts of the US, you can actually get in trouble if you're not wearing a face mask right now. So it's a bit of a live issue at the moment. In Australia, the chief health officers are still saying that you shouldn't be wearing a mask just if you're a general member of the community. We actually need those masks because there's a shortage. And we're really concerned that the people that really need them, those that have symptoms and healthcare workers, might not get access to them if everyone starts using them. But they have indicated that they're reviewing the advice, and at this stage, because they say community transmission is still fairly low, there's not a need for it right now. Then of course people are saying, well, should we make our own masks? Should we, you know, bring out the bandanas and the scarves? And experts we've spoken to are saying, look, you know, maybe that it could offer some protection in terms of stopping you spreading your symptoms if you've got a cough or a cold, but they're not quite sure how much it will protect against the virus. It might protect from the large water droplets that spread it, but maybe not the finer particles. So still a bit of work that needs to be done on that, and hopefully we'll get a firmer answer on that soon.
There are so many questions that so many people have. Sharon, the response we're getting to the explainers, as I said, it's overwhelming. Listeners, if you want to see the constantly updating Q&As that we're running, you can just go to the homepage of the Sydney Morning Herald or The Age or the Brisbane Times or WA Today. And just below the top story, there is a permanent link that says your questions answered. And that's where you'll be able to see the work that Sharon is doing. Sharon, thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thanks, Tori.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by David Escort and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis factually, fairly and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search Subscribe, the Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.